Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to The Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here today with Renee Ferry, Customer Success Manager, and Kevin Metz, Sales and Business Development Manager here at CORE. Welcome to both of you today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
We're so glad to have you with us. This week's podcast is called ISO Certification and Government Contracting, and we'll be discussing how ISO certifications can help you in securing government contracts. But first, let's hear a little bit about our guest. Let's start with Renee.
Yeah, so as Xavier indicated, I'm the Customer Success Manager here at CORE Business Solutions. I've been with CORE Business Solutions for almost 7 years. I've been working directly with our customers. I get to welcome all of the new customers that haven't worked with us previously, and I also become their point of contact for anything they need for us throughout the duration of their partnership with us, whether that be in their first program or whether they come back later.
Awesome. All right, and you, Kevin, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm our Sales and Business Development Manager. I focus on bringing in new customers to CORE Business Solutions and also finding new avenues to bring business in the door, also find new ways to work with other companies to offer services to them as well.
Awesome. Well, glad that you're both here. Really do appreciate it. So again, we're talking about how ISO standards can help you in gaining governmental contracts. Let's start off with Kevin. What are the key steps involved in the government contracting process, and how does it differ from private sector contracts?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, to break it down quickly, process includes, you know, a solicitation. This is where the government puts out a contract where they really just want to gauge the interest, answer any questions, and define the work more thoroughly. Mm-hmm. You then go through the request for bid or RFP process, which is a very common term in the government contracting space. This is where they'll actually get solicitations in the door. They'll get the bids from competing businesses, and that will factor a few different things. It will factor pricing, it will factor competency, and it will also factor in the capabilities of the bids.
Okay.
Once that's completed, they'll award the work to a pool of companies that they have selected. This is a high-level, you know, understanding of the process, but mm-hmm. The biggest difference between this and the private sector is that, you know, in the private sector, we're used to selling. We're used to being able to have face-to-face interactions. With the government, we're really more, hey, here's the solicitation. Build your bid around that. And that's all they're seeing, that paper bid that comes in.
So there's no advertising. There's no contracting somebody, greasing the wheels a little bit. It's basically, here's what we're asking for. Give it to us and we'll look at it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more buttoned up. They want to, you know, they want to qualify. They want to make sure that everybody's coming in the door with a fair shot to win the business, as fair a shot as you can have. And a lot of that comes down to, you know, again, you have a, you know, competency that you need to prove in order to win the business to do that. So yeah, absolutely.
And now, so like you're saying, the bidding process is pretty much the same for everyone. All right. So Renee, could you explain the significance of certification versus compliance with ISO standards in government contracting?
Sure. Government contracts, for the most part, require certification and not necessarily compliance. The variations that we've seen is that some government contracts, depending on when it drops, some of them will allow the customer to show that they are in the process of obtaining certification and not necessarily have to have it the day that it drops. Some of them will provide a period of time within which then they can continue to go down that process and obtain certification, but that's not all of them.
Right. And some of them need to be, that's based on contract in that regard?
It is. Yeah. It's on a case by case for the most part. Some of them have it and some of them don't. And we really can't really anticipate which ones will and which ones won't. We just have to wait until we see what the details that are built into that proposal.
Yeah, okay. A good example of that is the Soup 6 contract that's currently out. Mm-hmm. That's one where they're actually giving small businesses, and I actually will reference this later in some of the questions you have, but they're giving us the ability to get into the contract pool first and then prove certification within a certain time frame. So that's a very popular method mm-hmm. if they don't require it on the front end.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're looking at, again, you might have limited time to show that you're heading towards certification, but you don't have to have it the minute you submit your actual proposal.
Right. And in those circumstances, we have a tool that we call our letter of commitment. And it's on our letterhead. It's signed by our president and CEO, Scott Dawson, that basically says the customer is under contract with us to become certified. And we give a date range within which we believe they will be certified. So that's a tool that we've used with many of our customers over the years.
Gives a little more validity to the fact that, yes, we're actually working with somebody to become certified.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's a contract by contract basis that may or may not have that opportunity. Renee, moving on, what are the potential benefits for government agencies when working with contractors who are ISO certified?
So the government agencies require the certifications they do because, in essence, they are ensuring that the customer or contractor has a secure foundation in place when it comes to management systems.
Okay.
You know, there are several ISO standards. You know, for 9001, it would be a quality management system. Mm-hmm. For 27001, it's an information security management system.
That one's a mouthful, an ISMS.
Yep. For 20001, it's the service management system. And 14001 is environmental, and 45001 is occupational health and safety.
So I assume there's times that a contract might require more than one of those certifications, correct?
Yes. The requirements for these standards, in essence, really outline best practices in each of those areas and in each of those industries. So what the government space is doing then is they set their pool to be folks that are already using those best practices as a foundation.
Well, that's pretty easy to understand. Now, back to Kevin, what are the most common challenges businesses face when attempting to secure government contracts, and how can ISO standards help overcome those challenges?
One of the biggest challenges that a business can face with that is going to be points and competency requirements. In a lot of contract vehicles, they have a point system in place that helps to determine what level of competency they'll be at for the contract vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common ways to build your points in this case is to add certifications to the company's bid.
Okay.
That's where ISO and other industry standards come in, and where CORE, we come into play and find ourselves helping a lot of businesses.
So oftentimes, the more certifications you have, the better your score.
Yeah, absolutely. Most commonly, you'll find a 9001 CMMI as kind of the top, certifications referred to in government contracts. But what you're going to find is that every contract is different. There are a lot of different contracts that are going to require different standards. Renee just went over some of those different standards, but
mm-hmm.
we've seen contracts that put an emphasis on ISO 14001 and 45001, and then other contracts where they put emphasis on ISO 27001 and 20000-1.
Do you find that, okay, let's say the contract says, okay, we want 9000, 27000, or 9000 and CMMI. If you have additional ones, you do get points?
So typically what happens in that process is you get points for the 9 and the CMMI.
Mm-hmm.
Those are typically on almost every government contract that we've seen.
Okay.
And those are the highest point getters.
Okay.
Then those, additional ones like 27, 14, 45, 20,000-1, those will be lower point values. But depending where your contract currently sits from a point competency level,
mm-hmm.
building those additional ones in is what's going to push you over the edge to meet that threshold.
Right. So they want, everybody gets, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number here, 14 points because they're 9,000 and CMMI. But, your 27 will give you another 2. Your 14, that's 3. So it does benefit you even if it's not required.
Yeah. And typically just, for the listeners, typically, I think the point value is like 1,000 for CMMI and 1,000 for 9001,
mm-hmm.
and then it drops down to 5 for those other standards. But because they usually list a few more,
mm-hmm.
you can easily get another 1,000 to 1,500 points just by going through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, going through these different standards all at once can be very advantageous, both for the customer and for cost benefits as well.
Yeah, and you can put an IMS in there, integrated management system. So it's not always a hard jump to go from 1 to 2 or 2 to 4 if you need to be.
Correct.
We really see a wide variety, and CORE has spent a lot of time learning these different standard requirements when it comes to contract vehicles and their releases. I mean, we have a lot of great programs, and we have we've learned to be really effective with our time frame and
mm-hmm.
how we can complete uh-huh. those projects. It's one of the reasons that I always, tell our customer base that we invest in learning these because it's very important for the customers we work with in this space to know
mm-hmm.
as much as we can learn.
Right. It's definitely interesting to see the combinations that often work. Now, moving on, Kevin, how do these government agencies typically assess or evaluate the suitability of a contract's adherence to ISO standards during the bidding process?
Yeah, I mean, typically it's pretty simple, as they will, require proof of certification with the submission of the bid. Again, depending on the contract vehicle,
mm-hmm.
that could differ. Typically, it's pretty simple. They will require proof of certification with submission to the bid. As we've seen, some of these different contract vehicles. I referenced earlier Soup 6. Mm-hmm. That's a big NASA contract vehicle going through RFP right now. And that's one where they don't require it on the front end for small businesses. What they're looking for is proof of, you know, working on those standards by bid. And then within a year of award, they want to see that certification.
So I know that we talked about it before a little bit, but the compliance versus certification. Certification means you've gone through, gotten your audit, you're certified to that standard. Mm-hmm. Do they want to see some compliance prior to that certification, or do they just want to see if you're
– They want to know that you're effectively in contract with somebody to help you, or okay, that you can show that you're working towards it.
Gotcha. So you don't have to be in compliance at that point.
And one thing I want to clarify, just because I always think it's important, when we talk about audits, you know, third-party audit,
right,
the registrar
right,
audit right, or an assessor or something, appraisal, you know, whatever that is, because there is, of course, the internal audit process.
Right, right. We're talking about that you've gotten your certification from a third-party registrar that says, yep, you meet the requirements of the standard and you are certified and here's your certificate.
What Kevin was saying is that's where we use our letter of commitment.
Right.
And we've had that in place for many years and we've provided that to many customers. So that usually serves and suffices as proof that they're in the process of obtaining certification.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's the highlight of what we do for government contractors right now.
Anything else when it comes to being on your way to certification, Kevin?
Additionally, you know, we always like to, you know, emphasize that having a real certificate with an accredited registrar is very important in the government contracting space. We've seen a lot of examples where, you know, you send a submission in and it's not a valid registrar and you lose out on that bid is, or losing out on that bid is your worst case scenario, or not your worst case.
It's not your worst case, just losing losing the bid isn't the, well, what could be worse than that?
No, losing the bid is sometimes the best case scenario. Mm. Really, the worst case is we've seen examples where, you know, you submit an invalid certification and you end up getting blackballed by the department that you're issuing that bid to in the government. It can get real messy. I bring this up because in anything, there are a lot of firms out there that are going to take advantage of this. They want to offer you something that seems too good to be true. Really a quick implementation with an already scheduled audit. And that's kind of a dead giveaway that sometimes you're heading in a place that, you know, where the sun shines too bright, so to speak.
Yeah. We have seen a lot of too good to be true firms and they really do cause havoc for the customer because a lot of times they'll give you a piece of paper because they did the audit and you can be confused that that's not a real certification. And then you go and now you're blackballed.
Yeah. More than anything in the government contracting space, don't just look for the low number.
Right.
You can't do that, unfortunately. We like to believe we give a very fair price. But at the end of the day, we're also here to give you information and help you do your due diligence, whether that be choosing us to work with or someone else. We always want to arm you with the most information possible. I mean, this podcast is a great example of that.
Yeah. This ends part one of our episode of ISO Certification and Government Contracting. Please tune in next week where we'll continue our discussion with Kevin and Renee with topics like misconceptions with ISO and government contracting, resource challenges, establishing your presence in the governmental contracting space, and more. We want to thank everyone who's listened to our podcast today. We hope it's been informative for you. If you're looking for more information about Core Business Solutions and how we can help you with ISO certification or cybersecurity or even customized training, please email us at info@thecoresolution.com. You can also visit our website at www.thecoresolution.com. And if you haven't already followed us on your favorite podcast platform, be sure to do so. That way you won't miss the next Quality Hub podcast when it's released next week. Have a great day, everyone.